approved for the planning board meeting, October 13, 2021.
The October 13, 2021 meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board to session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting is advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, will the board administrator please call the roll?
Commissioner Crevel?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Roman Zabi Hutch?
Here.
Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Peter Tocco?
Here.
Tim Coo?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
Don Siglin?
Here.
Absent are Commissioner Landgraf, Tom Halpin, and Wendy Bartlett.
Okay, at this time, we have a new member to the board. I'd like to introduce Mr. Don Siglin. Don is no stranger. He has served on the board before. I was very happy to be able to serve with you, Don, and we're glad to have you back.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
At this time, we'd like to have you sworn in. So would our solicitor and you get together, or do it, take care of it, and you'll be sworn in.
Sure. You're okay there, Don. If you could just raise your right hand and repeat after me, and we'll get you through this. I state your name.
Yep. I, Don Siglin.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And to the governments established in the United States.
And to the government established in the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly.
And I will faithfully, impartially, and justly.
Perform all duties of the office of Planning Board Member Alternate 4.
Perform all duties of the office of Planning Board Alternate 4.
According to the best of my ability, skill and ability.
According to the best of my skill and ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
All right. Thank you, Don. And then at some point, if you can fill them out, give them back to me.
Yep.
And I'm going to give you this third one to do, too.
Okay, thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Don, you're now official. Welcome.
Thank you.
Next on the item is the adoption of minutes from the September meeting. Are there any amendments or changes to the minutes? Hearing none or seeing no request, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The minutes are hereby adopted. In addition, we have three resolutions this evening. We're going to adopt those as one package. They are as follows. They're P53. Well, first of all, are there any amendments or changes to those resolutions? Again, hearing none or seeing none, may I have a motion and second for adopting the three resolutions?
I make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. And I will give the P53 2021, P54 2021, and P55 2021 are now hereby adopted. This evening we have three cases, or three for hearing. The first is going to be that of Eric and Beth Niederman. The second will be that of 7 South Newark, and of course 4925 Ventnor Ave will be the last. So at this time, we have the Niedermans come forward. And do you have any witnesses other than yourself?
No.
Okay. Would you please be sworn?
Okay. Mr. Niederman, can you state your name and address for the record?
Yes. Eric Niederman, 101 South Suffolk Avenue, Ventnor, New Jersey.
You can please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. I'm just going to get our Board Engineer and Planner, Mr. McLaren, sworn in. Mr. McLaren, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Great, thank you.
All right, Mr. Needleman, what we're going to do first is our engineer and planner is going to give a preamble on your application, and then you'll come through with everything. Have you read his report?
Yes, I have, yes.
Okay, so we're good there. So Roger, if you could please take over and do the, your report on this particular property.
Thank you, Board Chairman, Board Members. The report is based on the application of Beth Rose Needleman, 101 South Suffolk Avenue, Block 13, Lot 7, Ventnor, New Jersey, R1 Single Family Zoning District. It's actually in a preliminary firm, X Zone. This is a substantial benefit variance and could be considered a partial hardship variance. It's a corner lot, so there's two front yards causing some hardship. Materials reviewed on bottom of page 1, continuing the top of page 2 of the report, and the project description is as follows. The applicant proposes to enclose a portion of the second floor deck to create a powder room, apparently to be more conveniently located within the living area of the existing dwelling. The building coverage is not affected, however, a front yard setback variance is needed due to the expansion of a non-conforming setback, and it's in a front yard facing Atlantic Avenue. Also, as part of this proposal is to create a second floor deck fronting on Suffolk Avenue where a roof exists today. Again, building coverage is not affected, however, front yard setbacks are affected and require variances. Corner property equates to two front yards and one side yard plus one rear yard. During my analysis, I took the rear yard as where the garage is and a side yard perpendicular to Suffolk Avenue. Zoning chart is on page 2, continuing page 3. There are three variances identified, and they are as follows. Front yard setback to the building, Atlantic Avenue, whereas a minimum front yard setback is 15 feet for buildings, 4.5 feet exists, and 4.5 feet is proposed. Again, this is a expansion of a non-conforming setback. Front yard setback, second floor deck, Atlantic Avenue, whereas a minimum front yard setback is 11 feet for the second floor deck, where a 4-foot encroachment, 4.5 feet exists, and 4.5 feet is proposed. And a further expansion of a non-conforming setback. And again, the front yard setback of the second floor deck along Suffolk Avenue, whereas a minimum front yard setback is 11 feet for second floor decks, where a 4-foot encroachment, and 9.08 feet exists, and 9.08 feet is proposed. This continues as an expansion of a non-conforming setback. Waivers, survey being older than 1 year old, I would recommend that waiver be granted. It has no impact on this application.
What is the waiver?
Survey older than 1 year.
Okay.
Front yard setbacks are existing non-compliant, and a minor expansion requires variances. The existing landscaping is to remain and is extensive, so a landscape waiver, I think they requested a landscape waiver as well, and I also recommend that be granted. The landscaping at this property is pretty unique and vibrant. The purpose of the enclosure is to provide a more reasonably located powder room closer to the living area. That's my presumption. I guess the applicant will testify to that. I know if I was on the front porch, I'd rather be there than somewhere else. Proposed second floor deck along Suffolk Avenue will replace an existing roof, so not much of a difference will be realized as far as bulk goes. And I know the board has been considering grass governor strips along frontages along Atlantic Avenue, maybe not so much on the beach block, but in this location, due to the proximity of the pickleball courts in the recreational area and the amount of pedestrian traffic, I would recommend that the concrete remain along Atlantic Avenue. And because they have such extensive landscaping behind the sidewalk, that a street tree probably would not even sit too well there. So I think the board ought to take that into consideration also. Again, I have no further comment on this. This is a fairly straightforward application. They're preserving a very beautiful looking house in the, right near the St. Leonard's Tract and its beach block. So turn it over to the applicant.
Okay, sir.
Great, thank you. So I'm Eric Madden, the homeowner at 101 South Suffolk Avenue. We purchased our home about 5 years ago. We consider ourselves to be very fortunate to be full-time residents in Ventnor. We absolutely love it. We love the city, we love the community, and we love our house. So first, I'd like to thank the planning board for their service to the community. I'd also like to thank you for the opportunity to present a request. And I'd also like to thank Carmel, the planning board clerk, for her assistance in putting together the package and her guidance and advice. So what I intended to do, rather briefly, is to go over our request, present some of the specifics of the property, go over some of the detailed drawings that are in our application package, and then conclude with a few remarks. So in terms of our request, if you look at our application package in the bottom right, I have a bunch of the pages. So if you refer to page 15, which is our property survey, we're requesting a variance to the property setback, a C variance, which will permit us to do two things. So first, it will allow us to enclose a 12-foot by 7.5-foot section of our existing porch, which is within the footprint of the house. Actually, it's 2 feet inside the footprint of the house, to construct a foyer vestibule and to relocate a panel that's currently directly off of our kitchen. The foyer vestibule will allow us to have some break when we open our door so that there's not a wind gust that comes into the living room and blows everything around the room. We intend to do this in a historically accurate manner. We've purchased, for instance, for the vestibule from Philadelphia Salvage, glass enclosures from about 100-year-old house in Philadelphia. So most of this addition will be, this vestibule will be glass and will really be transparent. We also intend to relocate the front door to turn it 90 degrees and reuse the original front door and then add some antique glass panels to the side of it. And this is located on the left side of our property. And as the engineer said, it requires a greater setback than our currently existing 4.5-foot setback. We also are requesting to construct a second floor deck on top of our covered porch, on top of the second floor in the front of the house. And this requires a setback greater than the 4.5 feet or the 9 feet setback, depending on the front of the property. Note that our house was built, we believe, at least in 1914. Looking at the historical record of our lot, you can see the outline of the house, so it's at least 1914, which makes it about 109-year-old property. It's approximately 4.5 feet from the property line, and thus it necessitates a variance from the current setback requirements. So let me talk about some of the specifics of the property. As I said, it's from approximately 1914. It's a Dutch colonial house, which if you're familiar with that type of architecture, is very symmetrical. All the sides of the house look very similar, kind of like a barn type of a look. And I'll just say that a house that's this old, this close to the beach, is truly a hobby and a labor of love, and it certainly is to our family. So we're also located in the St. Leonard's Tract area, which is the historic area, and I believe that this house is significant in terms of its visibility on the corner of Atlantic and Suffolk Avenue. And it contributes to the unique history and culture of Ventnor, and I think what's really appealing, one of the things that appealed to our family is the antique, the old homes that have been preserved as opposed to just, you know, knocking them down, building anew. And I think in order to continue to preserve that, we would hope that there would be some latitude and variances granted so that homeowners who appreciate the old homes and want to bring them up to the current living approaches and the current types of layout can do so in an architecturally reflective manner. If you look at page 7 of our application, I'll refer you to that, to note the unique corner location of our property on the tax map. So pages 11, 12, and 13 are color photographs of our property. Page 14 shows the distance to the adjoining properties. And I'll make 2 points. One is that we are across from the tennis courts and the pickleball courts. So the nearest facing neighbor across the street is really 2 blocks away, what would normally be 2 blocks. There's no houses on Somerset, and it's the next block over is the nearest facing neighbor. We're also on Atlantic Avenue, so the nearest side neighbor to the variance that we're requesting to enclose this one portion of our deck, of our porch, is approximately 90 feet away, so 30 yards across to the neighbor's house on Atlantic Avenue. Also note that when we applied for our building permits was the first time that we realized, what I would say somewhat idiosyncratically, that we have 2 front yards, 1 side yard, and 1 rear yard. So that was something that we had not originally known. I would add that this does represent a hardship in the unique condition and configuration of the physical location of the house on the lot. It's not possible to relocate a house of this size, you know, given that it's been there for 108 years. So next, let me point out some of the detailed drawings of what we're proposing, and there's also our application package. I'll start with the proposed vestibule and So page 16 is a scale drawing of the proposed vestibule floor and the pergola enclosure. You can see that we're also going to extend two small coat closets, since there isn't a really usable coat closet on the first floor when guests come over. Pages 19 and 20 are architectural blueprints of the existing and the proposed enclosure. So you can see the size of it on the porch, which is, I would note, on all three sides of the house and is extensive. It might be one of the largest porches within Ventnor. And note that, as the engineer said, that our extensive side landscaping occludes most of the view of what we're proposing. There's currently a 20-foot bush that would cover most of this area. We have trees that have been planted that are maturing rather quickly. I would estimate that probably within the next 5 years, it won't really even be visible from the street or from any of our neighbors. All right, on page 17 is an architectural rendering of the proposed deck, and I'll point out architectural columns, so that it's consistent with the house. We're considering architectural columns that would carry the architecture from the first floor deck up to the second floor. So it's not going to look, you know, like a traditional, you know, plastic railing, you know, composite deck. Page 18 is a sketch of the proposed deck, also showing a possible setback. While we probably have a maximum size of the deck, we are thinking of having it set back a bit so that we can retain some of the roof line, which I think will be more visually appealing. And page 21 is an architectural blueprint of the proposed deck. I also want to make the point that there are approximately 20 properties that are notified of this hearing this evening. I just looked and walked around, and about 80% of them had second floor decks, and about 40% of them had third floor decks. So what we're proposing is completely consistent with the neighborhood and how people use their outdoor spaces in our area. So in closing, we ask that the planning board decide favorably on our request for variance to the setback requirements. We believe we've demonstrated the unique physical layout of the property on a lot, thus creating a physical hardship to enhance the property. In addition, we believe that this variance can be granted without substantial, and frankly, probably without any detriment to the public good. And lastly, this variance and improvement to the property will further enhance the historic St. Lawrence Track neighborhood and the visual environment of the area. So I thank you for your time, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Questions for the board? At this time, are you complete with your presentation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. At this time, I'm going to go right to the public and ask for a public comment, and then we can go back. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone in the public wishes to make comment on this application? Please come forward, ma'am, if you swore. Mm-hmm.
Just state your name and address. I'll get you sworn in, okay?
My name is Ann Corrigan.
Could you please come up to the microphone, please? And tilt that down a little bit so you can speak into it. Thank you.
You don't want me to sing, right?
No singing.
Okay.
If you'd like to afterwards, you can.
Ann Corrigan, what's your address?
My name is Ann Corrigan. I'm at 17 South Derby Avenue. I am Vice President.
And you swear to affirm, tell the
truth? I'm sorry. I have a hearing disability.
You swear to tell the truth?
The whole truth?
Yes.
Thanks.
From the, okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I have a hearing disability. Okay, so I'm Ann Corrigan, 17 South Derby Avenue. I'm Vice President of St. Leonard's Association. And we want to say, the association wants to say that the Niedermans were awarded a Pride Award this year for their ongoing efforts to improve and update their house while maintaining the historic character of the house built in the early 1900s. Too many historic houses fall victim to the wrecking ball because owners want open floor plans and it could be more costly to build a new house than renovate. We applaud the Niedermans for deciding to renovate rather than raise their historic house. We value keeping our historic houses in our area. So we support the Niedermans in this request. And our preservation committee has reviewed all of the changes, that the variances that they are requesting.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to make comment on this particular application? Hearing none or seeing no request, the public portion of this application is now closed. Mr. Niederman, Do you have anything further you wish to add? And maybe if there's any questions from the board, you've done a pretty good job explaining things.
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Do you intend to build this?
No, did you want a balcony?
Yeah.
No, we do not.
Okay.
That was just from the architectural...
You mean like it would require an additional variance?
Right, no, we do not. Correct, yep.
So let's let the record reflect that the third floor joint balcony, it's included in the plan, which is not part of this application and is not being considered this evening, and no decision will be rendered on it.
Right, and that's why I think the next page has my sort of pencil sketch.
I know.
Okay.
It's not shown there, but...
Right, exactly.
It is shown.
Right.
In the other drawing.
Should have drawn an X through it.
No other questions for me.
Can I just ask a question for context? The variances for the 4.5-foot setbacks, those are from existing conditions from 108 years ago. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Needleman, I have one question as far as this I guess the vestibule that you're creating. You said it sticks out from the house a couple feet?
It's actually in from the house, so...
It's set back in the house?
Yeah, it's set back in. But if you look at the dining room windows kind of bow out, they go out another probably 1.5 to 2 feet, okay. And the porch is in about 2 feet.
Yeah,
and it would be
in there in the side view. So I thought I wasn't sure where it was.
Right.
And then in part of your plan, you have, it shows the rafters coming through for that small roof, the rafters being saved, if I'm correct. Or is this another plan I was looking at?
Right, this page 22 you're referring to?
Maybe page 22, yes.
Yes.
And it shows the rafters actually coming out of the deck, but they weren't removed in the print. And then I was wondering how you
would,
is that an error?
So I don't know if it is. So this was provided by our contractor who is a framer, and what our instructions to him were to do everything possible to maintain as much of the current deck, including the ceiling underneath the roof, the porch, so as to do as little, changing to the physical structure as possible.
Yeah, but it actually shows the rafters protruding out of the deck and going up to the house. I think that's an error in the drawing.
Okay, I'll check into that.
In there. And you are going to save that roof. Are you going to save that roof that wraps around? Are you going to keep it
the
way it is, or are you going to move it back a little bit?
So I think we're going to keep as much of the roof on the deck on the sides exactly the same. We just put a new roof on. And our thinking is that we would probably have a little bit of the roofing on the front of the deck, like maybe, recess it back a foot so that it's consistent, because it is very prominent on the front of the house.
It shows that way now.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Any further, any questions, anyone? Roger, do you have any further you wish to add?
I do not.
Is there a deck on Atlantic also on the second
floor? No, it's the front yard deck facing South. As proposed, but it doesn't meet the front yard setback.
I got
Atlantic.
You.
Right.
Yeah, it's a corner, so
it's
we
a
have
corner.
Doubles. We have two setbacks.
Correct.
Right, that are not met.
Gotcha.
That's it. Everybody is clear with the landscaping package and the governor strip and everything the presentations that Roger had made. We can voice those. At this time, Leo, if you could charge the board with a resolution in the affirmative, I would appreciate it.
Sure. It's a C variance application, so we need a motion and a second for the following C variances. If there's a front yard setback along Atlantic Avenue to the building where 15 feet is required, 4.5 is proposed, and 4.5 exists, but they're enclosing that section. Front yard setback to the second floor deck along Suffolk Avenue of 9.08 feet, where 11 feet is required, and then also the second floor deck along Atlantic Avenue, it'll be at 4.5 feet, where 11 feet is required. There's a couple of waivers from the submission of a survey older than 1 year, and from a landscaping plan, which will include requirements that no requirement for street trees or a governor strip along Atlantic Avenue. And then any other representations the applicant made during the course of the hearing, and then we'll refer to Mr. McLaren's report for any other conditions unless otherwise address tonight, and then, as always, subject to any other necessary outside approvals.
Before we go in, Mr. Niederman, are you okay? Do you accept Mr. McLaren's report?
Yes.
Okay. Then we'll go ahead. Okay. Can I have a motion and a second for this application?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
And we'll have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
First, I want to thank Mr. Niederman. You did a very nice presentation.
Thank you.
I don't see any negative impact for the porch enclosure. I think, as I mentioned in my question to our engineer, the existing setbacks are a part of a 100-year history with that home. My biggest issue would be the governor strip, but I agree that is not the block that governor strip should be filled in. It's too active. It's got a lot of events that happen on that street. So I'm in favor of the application. I think the design also merits some kudos, continuing the double columns on the corners, the triple columns on the corners and the double columns that match the porch. I think it enhances the building and fits on the block that has all the, practically every house on that street has that second tier. So my biggest concern is where you're going to put that rolling chair.
That's a good question.
To occupy where that corner entrance is. One of the nicest rolling chairs on the corner. It's a beautiful home.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We're going to the other side. We're not getting rid of it.
Good.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. First of all, I believe that the basic tenets of the land use law have been well explained, and that there is no detriment to the public good. Furthermore, the way the house sits, I'm glad you drew attention to it, that the size of the cartway of Atlantic Avenue is quite wide, wider than, of course, most streets in the city. And also the tennis courts. There's a lot of open space in front and on the sides where these variances do. And because of that, that lessens the impact and makes it, again, no detriment to the public good. In addition to that, you're keeping with the theme and design of the homes around you and this particular home, which there's a little change that's going on. So that the lack of change will be an important effect on the community as well. You're enhancing the structure. You're not letting it go, but you're not changing.
Absolutely.
That's another important factor that for those visually who see the property. And finally, that the variances that you're seeking, a great number of them, are basically induced by the pre-existing non-conforming position of the house. And we did have zoning back. Our first zoning was 1928. So you proceed actually are a little bit before our first zoning ordinance as far as the location of the house goes. With that, I am voting yes, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
And welcome to the city, by the way.
Thank you.
A little late, but welcome.
Thank you.
Roman Zabihutch?
I also vote yes. The variances are really minimal in the sense that they are the existing conditions, so it doesn't change that. So it's a shame you're before us, I think. But I am happy to see that you're making an existing historic home even more functional so it can be maintained for many years in the future. So thank you for what you're doing.
Great, thank you.
Lorraine Salata.
I'll vote in favor of it. It was you've done a very thorough plan with the details of what you're going to do as well as your presentation. And what's very important here is you're keeping the integrity of an older home, and so many people don't do that. And it's one of the more beautiful homes in Ventnor, so I applaud you for doing that and wish you luck.
Great, thank you. We view it as a restoration as opposed to a renovation.
Dan Smith III.
I also vote in favor of the application for all the remarks that have been made, and I wanted to thank you for your presentation. Extremely well thought out. All the renovations, their pre-existing conditions, which drive the variances.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a porch guy, and I just love that porch.
Thank you. Welcome to stop by anytime.
Yeah, wish you the best.
Thank you.
Mike Wiesen.
I always liked that house. It was refreshing nice-looking house on a corner, and when they painted it yellow years ago, it really freshened it up. And the rendition that you showed us really is going to make that house pop. I know it's an old house, but it's going to look fresh and new. And I know you're going to do details like as well as you did that presentation. So I vote in favor. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Peter Taco.
I'll also vote in favor of the application. I think that the variances required are certainly brought about by the existing non-conforming conditions. It's really very minimal. Good luck with the project.
Great, thank you.
We're complete.
Okay, at this time, congratulations. Again, it's a great job, and welcome. You are approved.
Great, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Don, by the way, as an owner, you participate in the actual, if you wish.
I'm just enjoying listening for now.
I know. You're new here, but I'm just saying is, as all our alternates participate as a full member.
You got it. Thank you.
At this time, we'll go to the next application, and that is of 7 South or Newark Avenue.
This is involves a D variance, so Commissioner Kriebel cannot participate, and Commissioner Landgraf isn't here tonight. So.
Let the record reflect that Commissioner Kriebel is stepping down from the board, physically removing himself. Tim, thank you for coming this evening.
See you, Tim. Thanks.
Okay, do you want to do a plea?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to use a plea here, but state your name, you introduce your people, and then we'll go ahead.
Good evening. Brian Callahan of the law firm Callahan Thompson Thompson on behalf of 7 South Newark. John Lemongello is the principal, and I have Todd Miller, so we want to have them both sworn in, and they can answer questions as we go.
Yes.
And we can turn it back over to you, Mr. Cook.
Yes, we'll have them sworn in at this time.
Okay, why don't you each just state your name and address for the record, and I'll get you sworn in.
Sure. John Lemongello, 7 South Newark Avenue, Ventnor.
Todd Miller, QMA Architect.
Pronounce it right then.
15 South Dorset Avenue, Ventnor.
And Mr. Miller, you're a licensed architect, and your credentials are acceptable. You've appeared before many times. Thank you.
And let me get them sworn in. So if you can each state your right hand, raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth? Thanks. And Brian, Mr. Lemongello, it's a condo, so there's no issues. I mean, you control the association, or you control both units, or okay, good.
All right, Mr. McLaren, please state your report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. This report is based on the application of Newark Beach Block Condominium, South Newark Avenue, Block 77, Lot 9, Ventnor, New Jersey. Engineering and planning report for seeking C variances and a D variance for a use, which is actually a expansion of a non-permitted use. This is located within the R4 Single Family Zoning District, preliminary zone AE Elevation 9, substantial benefit variance as well as a use variance for expansion of a non-conforming use. The materials reviewed on the bottom of page 1, continued on the top of page 2. A lot of materials for just a enhancement, but a project description. Don't follow one in my report that didn't save, but anyhow, they are expanding the roof of the second floor deck in the front, and of course, as we know, any expansion of a non-conforming use requires a use variance. So it's a duplex use in a single family zone, even though they provided substantial documentation to prove that they have a certificate of occupation from 1991, a certificate of land use from 1991, a certificate of application and compliance indicating that this has been a duplex use for many, many years. So even though they're not seeking a certificate of nonconformity, the fact that they have a certificate of land use compliance from 1991 as a duplex, and it is condoed, so there are two units on a tax map, you know, it helps and enhances their case to continue this use as a duplex and the expansion of a duplex or non-permitted use. So that is one variance. The other variance is the porch or the deck for the front, for the left, the left side is an existing 2.8-foot setback, and 2.8-foot is continued to be expanded, so a variance for that expansion of a non-conforming setback. All other items are existing. And again, just one little note, they have an existing non-compliant location for their air conditioning units. They are relocating that. And what that does, I've been to the site where it's going to free up space around the entire, you can walk around the entire building without that air conditioning unit being there. Right now, you can't. No waivers have been requested. I'm going to keep it simple. I think they should add street trees in the front. If the neighbor next door came in front of the board, they are to put two street trees in there. So this would be two contiguous lots that would have street trees so we can reestablish a tree canopy on that street at some point in time. You got to start somewhere. I think the architect has done a very nice job in showing how this property is going to be enhanced. And I think with a little bit more landscaping, this will really, really look good. But again, it's a D2 variance for continuation or expansion of a non-conforming use, and it's a slight expansion. Basically, it's an enhancement. I'm not going to continue any more on that, on this application. Turn over to Mr. Callahan.
I have one question before you go.
Yes.
The stairs and access to the second floor, they're being redone and changed around from the back coming to the front, and a roof's being put on. Is that an expansion? Is that part of the expansion of the non-conforming use?
Because they are actually making that deck on the side a little bit bigger, you can call it a landing, but it meets a setback, so that constitutes an expansion of that use too.
So we have to include that for a variance then?
What is?
It is in there. It's actually, I missed that part.
Well, it's part of the use variance.
Right, yeah. It's part of the use variance, but is specifically, are there any details?
There's no bulk no requirements bulk. On
okay.
that.
Okay,
no.
Thank you.
Good evening once again. This is one of my pet peeve applications because we're in an R7 district with a duplex. So if I knocked the duplex down like the neighbor did next door, that's a permitted use. I can rebuild that. But if I want to renovate my existing duplex, that's a D variance and I have to come here. It's not a bulk variance. So it always bothered me in the sense of that the emphasis was to knock things down rather than preserve them. And I think when you look at Mr. Miller's application tonight, in the sense of the rendering, it is, once again, a beautiful rendering to preserve an existing building and to freshen it up and give it a little pizzazz factor by doing the renovation. So we're here tonight for the D variance to do the renovation by putting the second floor deck on, which also, if you've walked the block, there are a number of other properties that have it. And you know, we think that some of the variance relief on the side for the decking to get into it is de minimis, but we're asking for a D variance. I'll call Mr. Miller first so he can walk you through his architectural plan and give you the variance relief that we're asking for, go into the special reasons and the positive and the negative criteria. Todd?
Yes. Can I move?
Could you move that, could you move that closer?
I'll hold that for you.
So could everybody see that?
We'll move it.
I can give you the handheld.
Why don't you, my voice, Carmel, you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Good. So then we'll leave it like right up front for Todd to do that.
So I apologize for the large drawings.
Do you want me to pass this out while you're doing that?
Mr. Miller, large drawings are better than small drawings.
if any of you have not had a chance to look at the site, there are two photographs. This is the new duplex that's being built immediately adjacent to our property, and this is just a new single family that's up the street on the same block on the same side of the street. John came to me and asked us to renovate the exterior of his duplex, which has been in his family for
30 years.
And to address a couple of things he wasn't happy with. So it's almost an entirely exterior renovation. We are tweaking a couple windows and doors, but otherwise it's pretty much just an exterior upgrade to the structure. The first thing was that John wanted a roof over a second floor deck. It gets hit pretty hard by the late afternoon sun, and he wanted to be able to sit out there on the on these beautiful, sometimes rainy, sunny summer days. So that's what we did here. We're proposing to build a new roof over this existing deck. The existing deck is non-conforming on the left side of the property, so that would need a little variance to extend the roof over that area as well. The other part of the project was we're rebuilding these stairs to the second floor unit, and this, there's a lower entry down below. Currently, the stairs come up from the back of the house and go up up to a landing that's here, which we thought was kind of weird and strange. So we proposed to bring the stair out from the front, so as you're walking back from the beach, you can just go right up the stairs to the landing. We relocated the outdoor shower underneath the stairs, and we sort of captured that small little side yard area that's in the back corner of the property as a new outdoor space. We've also relocated some of the air conditioning units so it'll be FEMA compliant and zoning compliant as well. Lastly, the lot is completely paved, and where we have been able to, we've pulled out some of the concrete to put some landscaping. It went from 100% to, I believe, 95%, which doesn't actually give the whole story, because we're going to pull the concrete away not only from the property line, but to the sidewalk line, so that we're almost doing another 50% concrete of landscaping in the front. Does that make sense?
Could you repeat that again, please?
So the concrete goes from the curb to the front porch. The property line is out of the line with the sidewalk. So we're proposing, and there's like about four feet from the property line to the sidewalk, to where the continuous path is. We're not only removing the concrete from the property line to the porch, but from the property line to the sidewalk. Now, that's not on the property, so we didn't count it as improved coverage, but it is more landscaping. We're also pulling out the paved governor strip and restoring the governor strip.
And what that does, if I might interrupt, it actually appears to push the porch back away from the sidewalk.
Yes.
By adding landscaping.
Yes, and it softens everything up, absolutely.
Mr. Cook, you were still looking a little fuzzy.
No.
Oh, okay.
Was that clear? It's kind of...
Yeah. It's clear.
Okay, yeah. Good.
It gives us that 7 or 8 feet of, now, instead of concrete, 7 or 8 feet of grass, even though it doesn't count as our coverage, it gives us all that grass smoothness and softness to it.
And then the expansion of the use is right here. So currently we have a stair up to a 3-foot deck that goes to those side doors. We've expanded the deck to 5 feet. It still complies with the setbacks, but we've added 20 square feet of deck, I think. So technically that's an expansion of the non-conforming use. And that's why we're here.
From a special reason point of view, do you believe that this will be an aesthetic enhancement to the street and to the community?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're creating something that's much more consistent with the architecture that we're seeing here at the beach. The house that it currently is, the way it currently is very utilitarian. It's very, very simple, vinyl-sided, very simple columns and things. And we've sort of upgraded everything with fiber cement siding and a lot of AZEK trim and fiberglass columns and things of that nature to really make it consistent with the architecture that we're seeing, you know, all up and down the streets of our community.
On the negative criteria, do you see any type of substantial detriment to the public good or the character of the neighborhood?
I see absolutely no detriment to the neighborhood at all.
In our case, as Mr. McLaurin said, air conditioning units are being removed and relocated. We've added some additional landscaping. We've reduced the overall lot coverage of the property. So where we had the ability to do some things to soften the appeal and soften the approach of the house, we've been able to do those things?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Wherever we could, we've tried to make the house more compliant.
And once again, from a substantial detriment and impairment to the zoning plan and zoning ordinance, do you see any type of substantial detriment?
No, I see no detriment at all. We've really upgraded the structure to make it more consistent with the community, and therefore we think it's a better use.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have any other questions. Mr. Barnes, the street trees we are putting in, because once again, we wanted to be consistent with the neighbor. So since the neighbor has, as part of his application for rezoning the duplex, put in the two street trees, we'll be putting in the same two street trees. So they're doing it now, give us, as Mr. Barnes said, it has to start somewhere. Mr. Salato has always said it has to start somewhere. You know, before you guys put two street trees in for the neighbor, the street was barren. It didn't have any street trees on it at all. Now it'll have four. So if somebody else comes along and adds a house or renovates a house, you know, we'll get that canopy and doing it.
That's the goal. Mm-hmm. Just a question. So everything that you're doing is on the exterior of the house, essentially. You're not doing anything on the inside of the house?
That's correct. We're okay. Replacing a couple of windows.
Okay, but the footprint on the inside is the same?
Yes, no change to the footprint. There's a couple of hot water baseboard heaters we have to change in order to put doors in.
Okay.
But otherwise, there's no reconfiguration inside at all.
Okay.
Tell us how you really feel.
Are you complete?
We are complete.
Okay, and Mr. You put your report in. Are you in agreement with Mr. McLaren's report?
We are.
Okay. At this time, then, if you're complete, we'll open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Seeing no request and hearing no request, the public portion is now closed. Do you want to make a summation? It's right on the heels
20 seconds.
Of closure.
Just thinking once again, it's a win-win application. It's a minor application, even though it's a D variance. It gives the appearance now of a newly renovated home. The clients have owned it for 30 years in their family. They want to stay here. And it does give us a little bit of a pizzazz factor to the property next door that we now have a renovated house, all new siding, some new landscaping. Just a much cleaner, nicer, more aesthetically pleasing application. So we would ask for your support.
Okay. Any members of the board have any further questions or discussion? If not, we will go. Mr. McLaren, do you have anything further to add?
No, I just want to point out that they have a certificate of land use compliance for a permitted use of a two-family home from 1991.
Okay. Leo?
All right.
Could you frame a motion in the affirmative, please?
All right. Yep. So technically, the duplex is in a permitted use, and they're modestly or slightly expanding it. So that requires what we call the D2 use variance, which technically requires five affirmative votes. Someone needs to make a motion for that use variance, and also on the side yard setback, they're currently at 2.8 feet or 4 feet required, but since they're roofing that deck, that's it triggers the need for that relief as well. The conditions, they've said that they're willing to, and I think they plan on adding the two street trees, so that'll be a condition, and then any other conditions in Mr. McLaren's report and any other conditions set forth or any representations they made during the course of the hearing will also be followed.
Okay. We have a motion and a second, please.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
And we'll have a roll call vote. Please state your reasons.
Jacob?
I'll vote in favor of the application. The building is actually pre-existing non-conforming, as evidenced by certificates. The additions that they're doing that are in light of this are basically functional, and you wouldn't know that they weren't, that they would be there, because many properties already have them. They're correcting some of the ills of the problem. They're certainly working within the general welfare of the community. The zoning of the predominant zoning of the community is still being on the street. There is nothing unusual, so the public good is not being, in any way detrimented. So with that, and they've owned the property for quite a while, and so this is an upgrade as well. So some of the obsolescence of the property, of the date, or the dating of the property, is being taken out, and so it's taking its place in the housing stock of the city of Ventnor. So with that, I again support it, and I vote in favor.
Roman Zadi Hutch?
I also vote yes. To me, the D variance is justified because it's a continuance of what is there with regard to the C variance. It's de minimis. I applaud the applicant for removing a lot of the concrete in the front, adding the trees, making the area a lot more pleasant. It really will enhance the neighborhood. Thank you.
Lorraine Salata?
I'll vote in favor of it. I think it's a really good upgrade to an older property that looks a bit dated. In my opinion, it's a shame you have to come for a D variance, you know, because it really, nothing has changed except the roof and a couple other small things, and it's definitely a plus for the neighborhood.
Dan Smith III?
I also vote in favor of the application. I think it's a tremendous upgrade all the way around, and it's a win-win. You got less coverage and aesthetically pleasing. The conditions were pre-existing, and it's a shame you have to be here, but thanks for doing what you're doing.
Mike Wiesen?
One of the favorite things that I have when I come to the planning board is to see old houses getting upgraded. It's like watching a car show when they're restoring the car, and then when you see the finish. We get to see the finish, and it's really nice. I love the side porch with the bump out. It's just cozy, and I think every house in Ventnor should have a porch. So many people ask for them now. It's just great, and it's really, really nice, and all in favor.
Peter Taco.
I'll vote in favor of the application. I think the D variance is justified, just a continuation of the existing use, and the C variance. The enhancements that will allow will greatly beautify the house that's there.
Tim Coop.
I also vote in favor. I appreciate the additional green space. I know it's small, but every bit counts, and I think the overall project will be a great improvement, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, and welcome for the 31st year. With that. Next application is that of 4925 Ventnor Avenue, and please proceed.
Okay, I need to excuse myself. I've been doing the beat.
Okay, let the record reflect that Tim is going to recuse himself because of proximity of closeness, and he is leaving. He's physically stepping down from the board. Straight into it.
Good evening. Brian Callan of the law firm Callan Thompson Thompson. This is on behalf of 4925 Ventnor Avenue LLC. Just for the record, all jurisdiction requirements have been met. I have Tom Days here. I have Pete Weiss here. And I have Blake Barbusco here and Nate Russo here. So.
Swear in anything.
How about which of you two want to talk? Bring everybody up, let's swear everybody in, put it on, and we'll go.
Yeah. All right.
You guys can go down the line. Whoever wants to go first, I'll try and swear all four of you in together. Just name an address.
Blake Barbusio, 6513 Monmouth, Ventnor, New Jersey.
Tom Davis, on the project committee, 400 Rooster Avenue, Atlantic City.
Tom, I know, engineer and planner, or just engineer? Okay. Pete?
Nate Russo, 6509 Monmouth Avenue, Ventnor, New Jersey.
All right. Pete Weiss.
Peter Weiss, 101 North Washington Avenue, Margate.
And if the four of you can each raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Let the record reflect that the credentials of Mr. Days and Mr. Weiss are acceptable before the board. They've appeared here many times. You're up.
This is the application for the property known as 4925 Ventnor Avenue. It's a property that currently exists there now. Is consists of three apartments and nine rooms. It's our intention to demolish the property and convert it to four fee simple single family dwellings. So that brings before you tonight a number of different types of issues. First is a conditional use variance, because the use is permitted, but we don't meet all of the conditions. So when you go through the conditions, for instance, one of the conditions is you need a lot depth of 74 feet. Well, our property only has a lot depth of 55, so we can't meet that condition. So even though we're permitted, we can't meet it. There are certain conditions dealing with lot area that we're short on because of the interior spaces. So we technically need a conditional use variance, which requires five votes. We're then seeking a major subdivision because we're breaking it into four fee simple single family units. So that's a second vote or a package vote. The third one is preliminary and final site plan. Now tonight we're seeking preliminary because we've had the opportunity to review Mr. McLaren's report, and when you go through the report there's 8 or 9 pages of checklist items, which Mr. Days will go through with you. We've been able to address a lot of those items, but we haven't had the time to finish them up. There's grading items, topographic items, meetings with water and sewer people to say, do you have enough room for water and sewer? So we're asking tonight for a preliminary, coming back to you when we have the opportunity, next month, God willing, to do a final and finish it all off with the thing. So Mr. Days will walk you through a lot of the conditions that we've been able to meet. So for instance, Mr. McLaren had given us had raised a good issue of the two interior lots. Why don't you do just a 22-foot wide curb cut instead of having two separate curb cuts, which we thought was a great idea. So we will have that on plan tonight, but there's a list of litany of things that are checklist items that are, I don't want to say housekeeping, but there are things that can be addressed, but they need some time to address them, to meet with the various people. We're also on a county roadway, so we need to talk to them about county roadway in doing it. But so there's things that we have to do in going through this. So without further ado, let me call Mr. Days first. He can walk you through talking about the conditional use and talking about major site and preliminary site. And then Pete Weiss can walk you through a little bit of the house and the materials, bedroom count, that type of thing, and how we're going to be building it. So I'll get out of the way. Tom, go ahead.
So as Mr. Callahan has discussed, the project is located at the northeast corner of Ventnor and Austin Avenues. It's also fronts on Callender Avenue. So because of the situation, or the way the lot's situated, we have two corner lots, and then two, because we're proposing a subdivision, two corner lots and two interior lots. It's in the commercial mixed-use district and also the northeast redevelopment zone. That's also contributed to some of the site plan checklist items. There's a lot of different things in those between the zoning ordinance and the redevelopment plan that we needed to go through that we just didn't get a chance to address yet. This is the plan that was submitted that you've all seen. I also have the revised plan as it exists today, which incorporates most of, if not all of, the comments that Mr. McLaren had made. The existing conditions, and it's now an inset on this plan, it's a looks to be a single-family dwelling in architecture, but it has, as Mr. Callahan said, multiple units in it. I've tried to determine the actual number of units and the number of, to determine the existing parking demand, and we've come up with that would probably require about 9 parking spaces. It now provides no parking spaces. It's all on-street, no on-site parking. So that's something that we address with our proposal. So getting into what we are proposing, we're proposing a 4-lot subdivision. If we weren't proposing a subdivision, if we weren't going to go for a fee simple attached single family, some of the variances we're requesting would go away. We believe that going for single family, attached single family, is a better solution for the neighborhood, for the city, and for the, you know, ultimate property owners. So that's why we're going and asking for some of these variances that we could eliminate, but we think overall the plan that we're presenting and that we would ask for your approval on is a better plan for everybody involved. Each of the units, they're all actually equally sized, so the footprint of the living area on each lot is identical. There are 3 bedrooms in each unit, which would require 2 parking spaces. Both of those spaces are going to be accommodated on site, and one would be in a garage space, and then one would be in the driveway space. So we will be providing a total of 8 on-site parking spaces, replacing, or currently there are no on-site parking spaces.
You want to walk them through, like, from the C variance relief at the present time, and we can just take them from lot 3.01 to 3.02, 3.03, and 3.04, so we can talk about which variances are on which particular lot and why they're on that lot.
All right, I'm actually going to switch back because it's at a better scale. It's a little easier for you to see. Proposed lot 3.01 is the corner of Ventnor and Austin Avenues. And because that's a corner lot, we made that one a little bit wider. It's 28 feet. And for that reason, it does not need a width variance. As Mr. Callahan mentioned, we only have 55 feet of lot depth on each of the lots. So we need relief from the 74-foot requirement for all 4 of the lots.
And just real quick, that's one of the conditions that we don't meet that technically triggers the conditional use variance.
Correct. And no matter what we did, that 55, there's no way we can make that 55-foot depth 74 feet, no matter, you know, whether we came in with one lot single or one lot multifamily, you know, if we condoed it, nothing gets rid of that 55-foot depth variance that we need.
Go ahead and continue on. Sorry to interrupt.
Not a problem. We also have an area variance for each of the lots. It's a little less of a variance for lot 3.01. Again, we made it larger because it's a corner. That area would propose would be 1,540 square feet, whereas 2,200 square feet would be required. Moving to the first interior lot, which would be proposed lot 3.02. Again, the unit is identical. It's attached. There's a party wall between them that would be on the property line if the subdivision is approved. The lot area for that lot would be 1,127 and a half square feet. We don't have the setback to Ventnor Avenue, so that's why that lot we figured could be a little bit smaller. Again, we're accommodating the same size unit. And actually, this goes for lots 3.02 and 3.03. They're identical. In the lot width is 20 and a half feet, whereas 28 is required. But again, we don't have any setbacks to Callander or Ventnor Avenue to contend with. So we think in that way that does justify why those lots should be a little bit narrower. On the 2 interior lots, we also need a coverage variance. And again, the coverage variance is for just the 2 middle lots. The requirement would be 80% building coverage and 90% lot coverage. We're meeting the lot coverage. The building coverage as proposed is 81%. So we're 1% over what would be required. However, when you look at the lot in total, and you take each of the 4 lots, and you take the coverages, and you make it, if you were to look at it at one site and evaluate it that way, we're actually at 70.5% coverage. So we're actually almost 10% under on the building coverage in totality of what we're proposing.
So what you're really saying is because we put the imaginary lines through it to create the fee simple single family, the interior lots are 1% greater, but the outside lots are significantly under. If we use this as a condominium complex, we would not be needing the variance at all because we would be under.
Correct. We would be almost 10% under for the coverage. And again, for lot coverage, overall lot coverage, impervious coverage, we meet on each of the 4 individual lots and as a total proposed project. The other corner lot of Austin and Callender Avenue, it's a, again, a little bit wider. It's a, you know, it's not right on Ventnor Avenue, so we have a little bit less of a setback. The bet width we're proposing is 26 feet. Again, where 28 would be required, still have that 55-foot lot depth that we can't get around. And the lot area is 1,430 square feet, whereas 2,200 would be required.
Let's stop right there for a second. Let's now talk a little bit about the conditional use and give us some, talk about special reasons, and let's talk about positive and negative criteria as it develops with that particular four-unit development.
Okay. As far as the negative criteria, you know, does this negatively impact the zone plan? The zone plan and the redevelopment plan, they want multifamily development. That's what we're proposing. So in that way, it certainly doesn't in any way contradict the intent of the zoning ordinance with respect to that. This would be permitted, again, if we weren't adding, as Brian said, the imaginary lot lines weren't there, this same exact structure with a different ownership scheme would be permitted and wouldn't require a lot of these variances. So for that reason, we don't certainly don't see a major negative, if any negative impact on the zone plan. The Northeast redevelopment plan, like I said, identified this area of Ventnor as an area that could handle greater density because of its proximity to Atlantic City. That's why, you know, the lot coverage coverages are as high as they are. That's why the building coverage is as high as it is. That's all right in the redevelopment plan. So everything we're asking for is right in line with the goals and intent of the redevelopment plan as it was originally adopted. And as it's been amended, those goals are still remain part of that redevelopment plan. When we look at the positive criteria and the way that it advances the purposes of zoning, again, we talk about the general welfare. If you look at this site as it exists today, it's certainly not, you know, I don't think anybody really looks at that as you know, so the sites that we were discussing in front of you earlier are beautiful sites. Everybody loves them and is happy to see them, you know, maintained the way they're developed. This isn't really a site that I don't think anybody wants to see maintained as it's currently being used. This is consistent with what is anticipated for this zone in this part of the city.
Fire and flood?
Fire and flood, what's there now? There are basement units, there are ground level units that aren't flood compliant. Of course, everything that Pete has designed here will be flood compliant, so you know the community flood rating will be improved because of this new development. So in that way, we advance that purpose of zoning.
And once again, even from a structural point of view, old electric, old plumbing, everything's being now upgraded brand new.
Yeah, I mean, obviously any issues you would have with old wiring, things like that, all go away. So from a fire safety standpoint, that's all improved with the proposed development.
Same thing, as not to give Pete a boost, but an aesthetic enhancement to what's there?
Yes. Yes, Pete's design is an aesthetic enhancement over what's there. I know all the board members, I'm sure, visited the site. And what's being proposed, you know, for this section of the city will be an upgrade, you know, for the neighborhood and the community of Ventnor.
And also what you had reiterated at the beginning, parking, big issue down that area?
Yeah, if you look at the Google Street View, right, in the Google Street View, there are three cars parked along Austin Avenue. We are eliminating those three on-street parking spaces, but in return, what we're providing would be eight off-street parking spaces. So that certainly opens up. There now will only be parking on one side of Austin Avenue, so it's a one-way street. North from Ventnor Avenue, there will only be parking now on one side because there will be no on-street parking on our side of Austin Avenue. No parking is permitted on Callender Avenue, so we're not impacting that in any way. We're not adding any curb cuts or driveways, but even if we were, we're not taking away any on-street parking spaces. So we believe we're improving the circulation of traffic through down Austin Avenue or up Austin Avenue, which is, again, another purpose of zoning.
And that second prong where it talks about, is there substantial detriment to the zone plan? I think you've indicated that this Northeast redevelopment plan, this is what it was actually trying to encourage.
Absolutely. I mean, again, the densities, the coverages, everything that we're proposing is right in line with the ordinance and the redevelopment plan. And again, the variance relief that we're seeking is due, one, to the dimensions of the existing lot that we can't change, and then also you know, the imaginary or the property lines that we propose as part of the subdivision.
Can you walk them through a little bit of some of Roger's comments dealing with the site plan and how we wanted to deal with that?
Yeah, one of the issues, again, a lot of them, I don't want to minimize them, because they are things that are on the ordinance checklist, or the development checklist, but a lot of them are just things that we just didn't have on the plan. One of the ones that was certainly a valuable comment, I'm sure would have been brought up by board members, was having an individual driveway for each. So the middle two units each had their own driveway. By combining them, we think that's a better solution. That was the recommendation that Roger made. We have incorporated that.